Mukam karoti vachalum pangam langayate grim jat kriputama hambande shri guru dina taranam nikila bhuvanamaya chinavichana kartri bhuga vibhuda bahulam rikya mukti mohanta dhatri shitilita raga radya radesha dhani bila situ hridi nityam bhakti siddhanta bani vande nanda rajasrinam panarenum abhichnasa jasod hari katod gitam punati bhuvanatrayam Namo Mahavarnaya Krishna Prema Pridayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tishe Nama. So today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we heard from Srila Acharya Maharaj this morning, on this day Srila Sridhar Maharaj would not come downstairs. He would not come out. On this day and 2 weeks from now, in the time of Mahaprabhu Sannyas, he observed this day in very grave mood, and would speak about Saraswati Thakur. And specifically for this occasion, he composed a set of prayers known as the Sri Sri Daita Dash Dashakam, in which he prays to Prabhupada on this day. And there are many, but there's one I find particularly beautiful recording of Srila Govinda Maharaj reciting these prayers. And the mood that he recites them in I am not one to say, but it seems to set the mood of the day and of the prayer. So it's about 5 minutes long. If you come close, we can listen to that. And it's in these prayers are in the Kirtan guide on page 290. If you want to follow along, they're on page 290. But we can listen to Srila Gurudev.
Nite jasmini nishante nayana jala bharai snata gatyar budana kitchai mutko shatan sri kishatam shutaya jiraya shiyogo jim kitchi jaraan hukarai itanayana mani bhagrita jena jina
Srila Sridhar Maharaj would recite and explain this composition on this day in the company of the devotees. Param jenitya vritya karma pi viraha shodam notsahe atra yatrasa tatrasikram viparanayanahe niyatam king karoyam. Wherever you are, take me there. And I have no desire, no inclination towards being separate from you. Without you, I feel empty. The world feels empty. This is the overarching theme that he describes Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur as the Vaikuntha Sneha Murti, or the embodiment of infinite affection. And having come in connection with that, having come in connection with Prabhupada, all else feels cheap, of little value. Even, right, this very extreme statement, even, you know, what quote-unquote love is found within matrimony or friendship or the parent-child relationship in this world. And I've found all of these things to be trifling, all of these things to be deception when compared to the quality of the love and affection we receive from Prabhupada. So having felt that infinite affection, and then to be separated from him, he feels as though he is in a void. He feels as though the world is empty. Ahar parer jananam guru charana jusham purita purnabhascha. And the cries of the servants of his feet, the cries of his chaste servitors filled the sky. Prabhupada disappeared in Kolkata in the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math at about Mangalarati time on January 1st, 1937. And about 24 hours before that, this celebrated event took place in which he gathered together the leading leaders of his followers and from them heard different kirtans and specifically requested Srila Sridhar Maharaj to sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada Seyamura Sampada. He requested others to sing other songs, but specifically wanted to hear this song, which is regarded as the most, you can say, the expresses the inner heart of the Gaudiya, the Rupanuga Vaishnavas. He specifically wanted to hear this song from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, even though he was not present at the gathering at that moment and someone else had already started to sing. So, you know, these circumstances, you know, illustrated the specific appreciation that Saraswati Thakur had for Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And this took place on December 31st of 1936. And following that kirtan that morning, Prabhupada was there for that day, and the next morning at that same time, he was gone. And many of the devotees had some, you know, some sense that this day was coming soon. And so, beginning at that very early morning, then they immediately arranged a car, an entire bogie, so to speak, at a train from Shelda station. And from Shelda, they traveled with Prabhupada's body to Krishnanagar. That time there was no Navadvip railway station. Or there was, but it wasn't accessible. And then from Krishnanagar, they boarded Prabhupada on the top of a bus. And then in the bus came from Krishnanagar to Mayapur. And then they arrived at Mayapur Chaitanya Math and began to dig. And the digging went on for most of the day. And then before the evening came, the digging was completed and Prabhupada was placed in Samadhi. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj remarked, you know, how dignified he appeared, how like dignified and beautiful his form appeared at that time. And they placed him sitting like in that picture that's on his, that well-known picture, sitting like this in a meditative pose. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj personally was placed the salt around, you know, placed the dirt, and complete, he was the last person to, you know, see Prabhupada's form. And then they completed the, you know, the way that things were done for Samadhi. And then in the evening there was a Pad Kirtan, and the devotees sang songs, spoke about Prabhupada, and they requested Srila Sridhar Maharaj to sing. They took note of, you know, Prabhupada's desire to hear that song sung from Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So they requested him to sing that song again in the assembly. And Haridas Thakur's Nirjan Antilila chapter 11 of Chaitanya Charitamrita was read, as is customary at the disappearance of a Vaishnava. And the next day, they had fasted the entire day, traveling from Calcutta. No one ate. They all day on the train, then the bus, then the digging, then the Pad Kirtan, all day completely busy. And he said that, you know, Srila Sridhar was, you know, remarked, it was, you know, an extremely challenging circumstance to be emotionally distraught as well as physically exhausted. And so it was, you know, the most extreme of experience. Also, as we know, this time of year is very cold. So in like the coldest time of year, he remarked, in this way, 37 came to an end, and 36 ended, and 37 began. And then the next day they had another program at the Chaitanya Math, and the various leaders were invited to give speeches. And about 1 or 2 weeks prior to all of this, Prabhupada had issued some instructions for how his mission should be carried on after him. And he requested that the leaders of the mission form a governing body and that they cooperate in carrying on the mission's activities. And he gave particular responsibilities to particular devotees. He requested Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, who was then Kunjada, to look after Mayapur Chaitanya Math and the mission's property and management. He requested Ananta Vasudev Prabhu to ensure that the teachings of Rupa and Raghunath were continued to be preached properly. Primarily he gave specific instructions to these, as well as others. He gave other particular responsibilities he wanted them to carry out. And so such persons were gathered together and they discussed how the mission would go on at this time. And I don't remember who, but one Vaishnava, can't remember his name, he spoke, and I don't know the verse, but he told this, the verse of Bhagavatam that described that after the disappearance of Krishna, the Bhagavatam has risen like the sun, and in the light of the Bhagavatam, the darkness of the Kali Yuga is dispelled, and the souls are going on gloriously. And, you know, as though to indicate, you know, now Prabhupada has departed, and with his advice, we shall continue. With the Shastra, with his teachings, we shall continue. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj described this, and he said, you know, I heard this man's speech, and later I was invited to speak, and I was compelled to speak in the opposite manner. And say, you know, that never shall we consider that we can proceed in our spiritual life independent of the Vaishnava, independent of submission to a higher Vaishnava, and that though our Guru Maharaj has departed, it is not that simply according to our own design, according to our personal understanding of the scripture, we will go on as we see fit, but that we will remain submissive to and submissive and subservient to a higher Vaishnava. And that without doing that, it is not possible to cultivate Rupa Nuga Bhajan. And he spoke in this way. And you know, those who are fortunate could appreciate, you know, what he was saying. And not ironically, but, you know, profoundly, right? He was that Vaishnava that so many proceeded under in the future. Right? So many considered following Prabhupada. We are hearing Prabhupada speak through him. Many remarked in that way. Many not only remarked or not only said, but felt that in their hearts. That after our Guru Maharaj, through this, through Srila Sridhar Maharaj, I am getting Prabhupada's association. I am hearing from Prabhupada. Not, oh, I'm hearing his, this, and no. I feel in my heart, I'm hearing from Prabhupada. Through him, really I am getting Prabhupada. They felt that way. And then news spread quickly throughout the mission of this event. And then, maybe a week or I don't know, 10 days, some time later, then a large-scale gathering was held at the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. And the leaders of persons who were, you know, elsewhere at that time, everyone gathered in the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. And further memorials, things were held. And at that time, Prabhupada had visited Vrindavan a few times and had some followers and things, and there was one panda staying in Govardhan at that time named Balaram. And he was a disciple of Saraswati Thakur. And at this time there were no mobile phones or email or ways, SMS, ways to communicate instantaneously. So Balaram was in Govardhan. And on the New Year's Eve, that night, while asleep, he had a dream in which he dreamt Prabhupada came to him and, you know, like arrived and said, Balaram, I have come. you know, most likely he was speaking Bengali, you know, Ami Aslam or Chile Aslam, something like this. And Balaram, you know, had this dream, and he woke up and he thought, this is very, very unusual. This is a very remarkable dream, you know, this very, very vivid vision of Prabhupada. I have come, right? And at that time, Balaram Pandit, he was in Govardhan, right? And later that day, he received a telegram. Prabhupada has left the world. And we know that during the final months of his life, he repeatedly requested to hear the Govardhana Vas Prarthana Dasakam of Rupa Goswami Prabhu. The theme of which is Nija Nikata Nivasam Dehi Govardhanatam. O Govardhan, you know, please grant me a place to stay beside you. Allow me to live beside you. Raghunath Das Goswami. He would hear this song as well as Sri Rupa Manjari Pada from Jajabar Maharaj during Kartik, a couple of months before he departed. Each day he would have Jajabar Maharaj recite these compositions as well as others, expressing the desire for Rupa Nuga Bhajan under the guidance of Rupa Goswami Prabhu to engage in bhajan at Govardhan Hill. And so, you know, anyhow, these events happened, you know, indicating that he had returned to his place in Govardhan in that eternal service. But as Srila Sridhar Maharaj writes, you know, the disciple, the servitor of Prabhupada, what can he do without Prabhupada? If my very existence is to serve him, and now he is not there, what am I to do? What is there for me? So, you know, if one's very existence is to serve Gurudev, but Gurudev is not there to engage me in service, then what am I to do? What is there for me? In this way, the world appears like a void. And regarding disappearance, Srila Sridhar Maharaj would also cite the verse of Das Goswami. Shunyaitam mahagoshtam girindro jagarayate tasya kundam vyagram jivatura hitasyame, something like that. Saying, Raghunath saying, without my life, here, my life means my Gurudev, Rupa Goswami Prabhu. Without my life, then Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radhakunda, they are dreadful. This is the basic principle of what is it. These things that are most attractive, most beautiful, most wonderful, without my Gurudev, they are dreadful. They are empty. That type of extreme attachment. When the GBC of ISKCON first visited as a group, first visited Srila Sridhar Maharaj in following Srila Prabhupada's, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's disappearance. Then he spoke to them about this verse. He said, this is the condition that you are in. And as we'll hear in a couple of weeks, when we speak about the sannyas of Mahaprabhu, that the cries of the devotees in separation from their master are the most purifying sound in all of existence. More purifying, more heart-touching than the joys, than the ecstasies, are the cries of the devotees in separation from their master. And that in the residence of Navadvip, the residents of Navadvip could not appreciate Mahaprabhu, could not understand Mahaprabhu. When they saw so many people dancing in ecstasy with Mahaprabhu, they could not understand him. They could not appreciate him. But when they saw the people cry in separation from him, when they saw the sorrow the people felt in separation from him, then their hearts melted. Then they came to appreciate him. So, also separation and such sadness, you know, is a necessary element of, necessary part of the process of the purification and softening of the heart. And in that way can be considered a favorable, beautiful thing. Uddhav was the dearest devotee of Krishna. He's always with Krishna. He's Krishna's best friend. He looks like Krishna. He knows what Krishna's thinking without Krishna even telling him. He can, just by very subtle gestures, he knows exactly what Krishna wants. He knows how to lie on Krishna's behalf. He knows how to sneak things into Krishna's hands. He knows very, very intimately about Krishna. Right? He is privy to all confidential information about wars, about politics, about family, about his wives, about his mother. About, he knows everything. Right? Uddhav. Krishna, you know, he himself says, Naivatmacha Jata Bhavan. He tells Uddhava, you're even more dear to me than I am to myself. I hold you more dear than I hold, than I care about even myself. But that Uddhav, when he went to Vrindavan and he saw the Brajagopis crying in separation from Krishna, he was amazed. He was astonished. He learned something. He was overwhelmed. And this morning, Srila Acharya Maharaj mentioned one of the final statements of Uddhava. After Uddhava visits the Brajagopis, after he sees them crying in separation from Krishna, you know, he says, Bande nanda brajastrinam padarenum abhikshnasa jashod harikatod gitam punati bhuvana trayam. He says, I bow down to the Brajagopis and eternally aspire for the dust of their feet. Their harikatha, their singing about Krishna, purifies the three worlds. Punati bhuvana trayam. And actually, in one sense, we can say this is the origin of Namasankirtan. Where does Namasankirtan come from? Is it a Vedic, you know, method for something? You know? The ultimate origin of Namasankirtan are the songs of the Brajagopis that they sing in separation from Krishna. Be it after Krishna, quote unquote, departs from Vrindavan, or daily, while he's all day away with the cows. And every day, Krishna goes out in the morning after being fed sumptuously and, what can we say, pampered by Mother Jashoda. Right? Then, with so many cows, so many friends, horns, flutes, you know, decorations, very nice bag lunches, and the full affection of the village. Right? Then, Krishna, Balaram, his friends, and the cows go off into the forest for a day of adventure. And all day the Brajagopis wait for Krishna to come home. And they're all day they're cooking things for him when he gets back and making, you know, preparing sandalwood or vermilion or so many fragrances and oils and flowers and so many things all day they're preparing to receive Krishna when he comes home. And then when it starts to get into the afternoon, right, then everyone's on the road. Everyone's waiting on the road, just looking down the road, waiting, you know, or listening. Will they see him first? Will they first hear the flute? Everyone's on the very edge. And at that time, with such excitement and anxiety and longing, the residents of Vrindavan would sing about Krishna. And such singing can be described as Namasankirtan. So Uddhav, hearing that Sankirtan of the Brajagopis, and he's saying, you know, he is the most intimate associate of Krishna. He's more closely related and with Krishna than anyone else ever. right? But he bows down and adores the Brajagopis. So our Guru Varga, they've come from Brajadam, from the association of Rupa Goswami there, and their kirtan is that type of kirtan. The Yuga Dharma of Naam Sankirtan, that is a general matter. Our Guru Varga's kirtan is the Brajagopis kirtan and separation from Krishna. They've come to give that kirtan to this world. Mahaprabhu came here to relish that sort of Naam kirtan. And throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can see this threaded in a very dignified and profound way. So today is the day of separation from Prabhupada. Srila Sridhar Maharaj composed his Daita Dashakam in this regard. Yatra so tatra shigam kripana nayana he niyatam king karo yam. Wherever you are, please take me there. I cannot bear to be without you. And as we know, here Srila Sridhar Maharaj's temple is known as the temple of union and separation. And that what type of, what appears within the heart in that state of separation is the most exalted state of being. So what Srila Sridhar Maharaj understood and relished to be union and separation, on this day, that would play within his heart. So here before him, we can simply bow down to him, simply, you know, honor in some small way that divine grace, divine sentiment within his heart as the most sacred thing to be found, not only in this world, but throughout eternity. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj, following the disappearance of Saraswati Thakur, he also composed another poem, short verse, Nikila Bhuvana Maya Chinna Vichina Kartri Vibhuda Bahula Mrigya Mukti Mohanta Dhatri Shitilita Riddhi Raga Radya Riddhi Dhani Vila Satu Hridi Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Bani. The theme of which being, you know, may Bhakti Siddhanta Bani, may Prabhupada's words, may Prabhupada's teachings, may the, you know, what Prabhupada came to express, may that play within our hearts. That is his prayer. Then once he remarked in relation to this day, that on this day Prabhupada became Vani, or he assumed, you know, form fully as his expression, as his word. And so through the word, as the name is non-different than the Lord, so the teaching, so the message of the Guru is non-different than the Guru. And through the message, through the teaching of the Guru, we find the association of the Guru. We find connection with the Guru. So the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat and all of its preaching is basically the expression of this prayer. May the word of Bhakti Siddhanta play within our hearts. The Gaudiya Darshan magazine, which was the first, you know, main tool of preaching within the Mat, ran this sloka on the heading of every issue. It was part of the magazine's framework, or whatever you call it. It's the ideal of the whole thing, right? Here, the Nat Mandir is known as the Bhakti Siddhanta Shravan Sadhan, or the place where you hear Bhakti Siddhanta. And the name of the Mat, right? Srimat Chaitanya Saraswata Matavara. There it says, Yatra Gaura Saraswata Matta Nirata. Matta means conception. Nirata means one who's attached, one who's devoted. So Gaura Saraswata Matta Nirata means those devoted to the conception, to the teachings of Saraswati Thakur and Mahaprabhu. They are those who reside here. The persons who are devoted to that. So, in other words, those who pray, Vila Satu Hridi Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Vani, may that Bhakti Siddhanta Vani play within my heart forever. Those who pray in that way, they reside in the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. And as Saraswati Thakur said about his Chaitanya Mat, right, we know that Chaitanya Ma, Chaitanya Saraswati, primarily there, Chaitanya means Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he also used the term, as we know, Chaitanya means consciousness. So he also explained that the Chaitanya Ma is a state of consciousness, not simply a physical location or something made of marble, but it's a state of consciousness. And those who are living in that state of consciousness are accepted as members of the Mat. So those who do not have that prayer within their heart, they are not a member of this Mat. Those who do not pray that the message of Mahaprabhu, the message of Saraswati Thakur will exert its influence over our heart eternally, they do not have any connection. They are not within the, quote, Chaitanya Mat or Chaitanya Saraswati Mat. In the spiritual sense, in the actual sense, we can say, as the Mat, the community, these things, it's a spirit. So, you know, that spirit, that desire for that connection within the heart, you know, what is that? He says, Nikila Bhuvana Maya Chinna Bichinna Kartri. That message, you know, can annihilate all forms of illusion. Any possible illusion existing within this world can be dispelled by that message. Whether it's some, you know, whether you want to think of that as philosophical debate, or you want to think of that as attachment to sense gratification, or misunderstanding about the practice of pure devotion. Anyway, any possible notion of illusion or attachment can be dispelled by the power of this message. You know, chinna vichinna literally means like like cutting, and then like in English they like slice and dice. It's like that type of idea. Chinna vichinna means completely annihilated. Vibhudha bahulam rigya mukti mohanta dhatri. And mukti, or some notion of freedom, liberation, self-actualization sought after by intellectuals, this message completely destroys that also. This idea that you'll be satisfied without Krishna, that you'll ever find anything of value apart from Him, this any possible permutation of this misunderstanding will be finished by the message of Bhaktisiddhanta. Beyond material enjoyment, beyond liberation, the plane of devotion, the plane of divine service. And there is given by this message. Shitilita vidhi raga radya radesha dhani. And within this message also we find shitilita vidhi literally means loose rules, loosening of the rules. And in a more precise manner, we can say a proper adjustment of the rules, specifically to what is known as Jukta Vairagya in Rupa Goswami Prabhu's line. The way that the soul will relate to the world is described as Jukta Vairagya. Anasakta Shivishayan Jatarham Upayunjata Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Jukta Vairagyam Uchate. What is Jukta Vairagya? One will be detached from the mundane, but with great earnestness, with great seriousness, eagerness, we can say, they will use things of this world in Krishna's service. Or in a deeper sense, we can say every atom, every soul, every transformation of the elements, in whatever state it may exist, has a relationship with Krishna. As every soul has a relationship with Krishna. Every soul existing within a piece of marble, existing within a piece of wood, is existing as a particle of air. Jai Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Has a pre-existent relationship with Krishna. So to appropriately, to befittingly utilize things or to engage various elements in their proper relationship with Krishna, or to engage them in their relationship with Krishna properly, that is Jukta Vairagya. Which is to say, we'll pick a flower and offer it to the Lord. Not such a complicated idea. Everything belongs to Him. Everything is to be used for His satisfaction. To relate to the world in that way is described as Jukta Vairagya, which simultaneously describes a state of having attachment to Krishna and detachment to selfishness or to enjoying objects of this world. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he explained the word Vairagya, which is sometimes translated as renunciation, has two meanings. One is Vishishta Rag, one is Vigata Rag. Rag can mean attachment. So Vigata Rag or Vishishta Rag can mean the absence of attachment or intense attachment. Both meanings are there. So what is renunciation or what is worldly detachment? It's simultaneously to become attached to Krishna, to become increasingly attracted and devoted to Him, and as a byproduct, disinterested in the world. So to practice in such a way as to have that sort of, that spirit appear within the heart, that earnestness appear within the heart, and to live according to that spirit is known as Shithilita Vidhi, or loosened or adjusted rules. Aradhya Radhesha Dhani. And within Bhaktisiddhanta's teachings are not only this cultivation of Jukta Vairagya, but also they are an abode of love for Radharani's beloved Krishna, Radharani's Lord Krishna. Which is to say, he taught the exclusive principle of Radhadasyam. Once he was invited to a preaching engagement in Calcutta by an old class friend. He studied at a Sanskrit college in Calcutta, and many years later, he was invited by a former classmate to a meeting. And there his classmate was the leader of some society and was lecturing and was speaking about the glory of Lakshmi Devi, Narayan's consort Lakshmi Devi, and saying so many things about the greatness of Lakshmi Devi, the greatness of Lakshmi Narayan. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting there, and no doubt, right, a Vaishnava is always here, happy to hear the glory of Lakshmi Devi, happy to hear the glory of the Lord in any form, right? However, this gentleman was glorifying Lakshmi as, you know, par excellence, saying no other form or person is superior to Lakshmi. And while any Rupanuga Vaishnava is happy to hear the glories of Lakshmi Devi, to have in any way even insinuated that her position is superior to Radharani, this is antithetical. Right? So Prabhupada is there and he's hearing this man go on, and gradually he's beginning to boil internally. But it's a public situation and he couldn't immediately object or, so to speak, it would be not be understood by the people. And as an acharya, he's there for the betterment of others. And at the same time, he could have immediately left and not concerned himself with the matter. But he also wanted to try to help his friend and help the people have a higher understanding of things. So he felt he could not leave, but also it was intolerable to stay. And also it was not suitable to speak out. So what happened in such a situation? What can you do? Cannot leave, cannot stay, and cannot speak. What will happen to you? Faint. He fainted. He became so intensely that he, like, physically containing himself and then fell to the floor in the middle of the meeting. And then people, oh, what is wrong? You know, this is that. And then gradually he's brought back and things like this. And then he, with very strong self-control, began to explain the cause of his distress. And gradually, on the authority of scripture, made it clear to people why this was, you know, of such intense discomfort for him. And the people were astonished. And that is one element, you know. While Prabhupada was vehemently opposed to Sahajiyism, you know, Srila Sridhar Maharshi once commented, why did Prabhupada create the Gaudiya Math? To destroy Sahajiyism. Like, that level of animosity. Like, we're soldiers who've been trained to kill you. That type of notion. And while he had this degree of conviction and, we can say, strong, devastating attitude, so to speak, Srila Sridhar Maharshi described him as externally appearing like a devastating lion. But yet internally, within him was the sweetness of Vrindavan. And there were times when hearing Das Goswami's prayer at the lotus feet of Radharani, hearing the prayers of Das Goswami to reside in Govardhan and serve under the guidance of Sri Rupa, right? Then uncontrollably tears would pour from his eyes. Sometimes even in public meetings, he would become overwhelmed, burst into tears, and forcibly check himself. And then again speaking to the people as though normal. So while he adamantly opposed Sahajiyism, at the same time he was overwhelmed with the actual substance. So in that way, Srila Sridhar Maharshi here describes, right? Raga Radya Radesha Dhani. Dhani means an abode. Means he's filled with devotion and love for Radharani's beloved Krishna. The purport being filled with devotion to serve Krishna under the guidance of Radharani and her followers. So that is Prabhupada, and he is none different from his bani, which is being praised in this verse. Within his word, within his teaching, is his grace, is that which can dispel all illusion, establish the supreme ideal, perfectly adjust all things, and fill one with love and devotion for Radha Krishna of Brajadam. So, as the years go by, as the parampara continues, the ideal remains the same. The ideal does not change. This is the ideal. This is what was founded to be the ideal. And all those who will come in the future, they will be the servants of this ideal. And their role is to, according to the time and circumstances in which they preach, do what is necessary to establish that ideal within the hearts of souls. And in that way, their mentality, their activities may not always be identical, but the ideal is the same. That is established by Saraswati Thakur, and the Chaitanya Saraswat Math is the place in which that is cultivated. So today, the disappearance of Prabhupada, you know, we're reminded of these things, some very elevated subjects, but which we, you know, do not understand, cannot fail to appreciate, but we know are held so dearly within the hearts of our Guru Varga. So, in remembrance of their appreciation for these things, we're recounting them and praying that we may be accepted, that our offenses may be forgiven, that we may have the fortune to render some small service to this most sacred ideal. Okay, I'll stop there.